Next state is Rhode Island. Thank you, Tony. Next state is Rhode Island, and we have Chris Arsenault. Chris, come on. Come join us. Hi, Chris. Thanks for being here.
Thank you for having us. And we may be a small state, but we're a little bit rowdy.
I can hear them back there. All right, explain this.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, so if you have elections with the machines have become a business. And that business means there's a market, and obviously that market is competitive. But machines also have standards. And one of the things you have to start out with is Gina Raimondo is now the Secretary of Commerce, which means that she's in charge of the standards for the election machines. Gina started out with understanding that it was going to be a predominantly mail ballot election. And she modified the state law to do certifications late in the game. So the process was kind of set up to take and bring and centralize all of the mail ballots into one location. So next slide. So Rhode Island has something really strange happening. To explain this, I took a look into the voter rolls, and at the time of the election, we had 814,000 voters on the rolls. Many of those we had like 200,000 who did not vote, and we were trying to figure out what's going on here. I decided to look in between the voters, and what I found was gaps. And the gaps meant that for every voter, you'd have a serial number, you'd have a voter ID number that was, on average, 47 additional voter ID numbers for every one real voter. So you look at that graphic and you multiply that by 814,000, and you get a number somewhere in the area of 39 million unaccounted for voter ID numbers. So what does this look like, and why would I look there? Well, if you're going to have phantom voters, you need to have a place to put them. And what I'm going to show you is the three smallest towns and the sizes and what we have for excess voter IDs. So on this side of a marker, it's a very distinct marker, we have voter IDs of people that were already registered early, very early, and were on the index card system, the paper-based system. They went in and they received voter IDs that were sequential. You had for every one voter, you had an increment of the voter ID number of one. And eventually you expect, okay, people are gonna die, they're gonna pass away, you're gonna have people that move out of state, or maybe a whole family. And on this side, that represents what's currently in the rolls in a very small town, and they're all in alphabetical order until you hit that midpoint. And that midpoint is a massive number jump. I call it the marker. On the other side, you now have these gaps. So every time a voter is added, you'll get something that will go anywhere between one and thousands. And that gets very disturbing because that side and that side should match. So something's happening here, and they're padding out the voter rolls and synchronizing all of the states. So if you're going to take and put in something and have some sort of a room to move people, both in time and space, that allows it. So this is very, very unsecure. There's no security involved here. Next one. So here's another, we went to look in the little things. So index cards registration, you go to this town, and this is Little Compton. Little Compton is a single precinct. And this is what we have in a single precinct. All of the excess voter ID numbers, I'm gonna read it here. You have 1,071,001 excess voter ID numbers. So all those additional numbers, explain that. Why are they in there? So let's go to a really small town. We're going down in the least populated towns. And you have here Block Island, New Shoreham. And again, everybody in this set, you have what appears to be a standard decay voters either moving out or leaving or dying, and then unaccounted for. So again, millions of excess voter IDs. So how are these being used? Let's go to the next slide. Oh, yeah, one more thing. This is the company that actually does the voter roll registration software. When I went to check out the company, the warning I got from Google Chrome was this site was not secure. So big problem there. All right, so the problem with having a predominantly mail ballot election is that most of those mail ballots in Rhode Island were centralized into one facility. They took the mail ballots through the mail ballot drop boxes out of the jurisdictions of the canvassing authorities, and they put them into a central facility that had high-speed scanners, and so all of the voter rolls were scanned there. On the night of election, we had a problem, and there's a couple things missing, but we saw something that looked like a red state. It looked like was Trump was winning, and then it turned blue, and we're like, what's going on here? This wasn't merely one race. I'm going to use the illustration of what happened at the presidential, but it happened all up and down the line, so all the down ballot races as well. So with the single race here, yes, it's reflecting something. If you go to the next slide, you're going to see, oh, okay, that's what's going on. And sort of to explain this, this is a chart that shows what's going on in terms of a point in time. There's a red lead, and we're seeing Edison data. This is the Edison drops or Edison data that's been graphed. And then at that very dip before you have the rise and spike, there was like a 7-vote difference. It actually dropped. And then things changed. So you had the peak starting to jump up. What's going on? This was where things happened. So if you noticed, there were no mail ballots. Go back one more. If you notice, there's no mail ballots, zero. No mail ballots had been added, and that turned out to be 30% of the vote. And you have this thing where the precincts were reporting, but there was no mail ballots being added, even though they had opened up the mail ballots and started processing them 5 days in advance. They were not being included in the reports. So yeah, go to the next one. So now, all of a sudden, in the middle of the night, things changed dramatically, and we had the mail ballots added to this picture. So the question that was going through our minds is, what was really happening behind the scenes, and what are we seeing? If you're seeing something on TV and you're led to believe one thing, and then something else is happening in reality, how do you mesh those? How do you find those out? In this case, we had to go to the cast vote records. So there's something interesting about Rhode Island. We're the only state, because of our size and the way that they conducted the election, to have all of the cast vote records. And in doing that, we were able to take and do an analysis. So instead of seeing things through the lens of the New York Times Edison research, those drops, the cast vote, and what really happened was this. So next slide. That's what they saw. So at no point did Trump lead. What's going on here? So this was Draza. Draza Smith did some of the work on this, and we were looking at this, and we're trying to go, wait a minute. If this is happening, and they know these things, but the Secretary of State's office and the Board of Elections is the only place that you can get the data from, but it didn't even sync up, what are they doing? Why are they holding these things back? This demands an explanation. So if you notice, they arrive at the same destination, the same amounts as the Edison data, and they played with the numbers for a little while. It bounced up and down. Draza did another check on this, and she said, oh, okay, let's look at it a different way. And this is what we had. So there's only really two explanations going on. Either they're front-loading and taking in shuffling things in afterwards, or they're doing something completely crooked. So there's a story here that needs a deeper investigation. We had groups that went out and canvassed. The Rhode Island groups.
Yep. Time. We're at the time, and they're there pushing on me. All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Representing the great state of Rhode Island.